Good morning. Thank you to the brave that decided to stay until the end and into the lunchtime. So I'll see if I can finish early. I'd like to recognize my co-authors there, Dr. Matt Helmers. He's an ag engineer, hydrologist, especially one of the projects. He had a major participation. And then Dr. Mazhar Haq is assistant scientist with me at Iowa State. I don't know if he's here now. Mazhar? No, he didn't make it. Okay. I'd like to say a few things about phosphorus loss in Iowa. I think it's important for those that are not from the that Corn Belt area. It's important because, especially after what we heard, that some results in the Lake Erie watershed and Ontario, you see, Iowa is different. And some things that the eastern wind is bringing to our region is complicating our lives. So I think we need to be clear. Okay, growing season goes from April to October. Okay, the non-growing season is the rest. Frozen soils and thinner snow cover than in the northern or eastern regions. Some years we don't have snow cover at all. We have unlikely runoff from the time of harvest until March, except last year there was some runoff. Normally there is essentially no runoff in October, November, December. We have high rainfall from April until late June, where we have little crop canopy and residue cover with tillage. Three quarters of Iowa is corn and soybean, so essentially April until the middle of June, late June, there's nothing there, you know. We have shallow water systems, especially our lakes, so the particulate P is especially active in terms of creating eutrophication. And then, in part for these reasons and for simplicity, the state efforts in our nutrient reduction strategy, conservation efforts, prioritize soil and particulate P loss reduction. Does not focus too much on dissolved P. Of course, we all know, you know, that when we work with some specific management practices, we need to have this in the context of all the complex processes. You know, we have the P index in Iowa, we have all these interactions. I always show this because we don't need to forget that, you know. When we look, you know, at some management impact effects, well, that may interact in different ways when we consider other factors. Some previous results from Iowa, very little, again, because some are relevant for what I'm going to talk in the presentation. No-till management greatly reduces soil and total P loss. Seldom increases dissolved P loss in Iowa. The dissolved P loss, I have no data showing that the no-till increased the dissolved P loss, but always increases the percent that is dissolved in the total runoff. Okay, that's important. The other thing that we have found, a lot of research over the last 10, 15 years, is that a few days of a runoff event delay after phosphorus application greatly reduces total and dissolved P loss with or without tillage. That's a major difference. That's what is important when I said that in the fall, seldom there is runoff, because that's when most of our P application is done. We have found much less phosphorus loss at equal amounts applied from solid manures, double fertilizer, or liquid manure, especially when the events come shortly after application. And then the fall broadcast P application is much better in our conditions than in spring. We have the data. If somebody wants to create a disaster in Iowa, then move all the phosphorus application to the spring, the broadcast one, to the surface. Of course, if it is incorporated without creating much erosion, could be a good thing. And we have some data that compared with broadcast in the fall, injection and banding of P has little or no defect. I have the data. So this is important, because you will see that one of the experiments that I will be showing, they didn't consult me when they started, and they put the phosphorus in the spring, and that explained some of the results. So what I want to talk now is two issues that I thought were relevant when they asked me to contribute to this symposium. Both relates to reducing the particulate and dissolved P loss. during the non-growing season. And one of the projects relates to, we have this problem that where the soil TSP is really high is when they apply poultry manure, and this is manure, it's not litter. The majority of the poultry in Iowa are egg layers, okay? There's no litter, no bedding, okay? It's manure. That's very different from other work that has been done in other parts of the United States. So we look at the effects of alum and gypsum there. We are working also now, we started with fertilizer, but I'm not talking about it. Then we have this great project, I think it was great, the grass filter strips, that shows that greatly reduced soil and particulate P loss, total P loss. But they have not measured dissolved P, and I have some questions about that. So the last 2 years I was involved measuring dissolved P, and that's what I'm going to share. So for the alum and gypsum amendment, we use rainfall simulation. Okay, we have done lots of that. We base it in the protocol that we developed years ago. As always with rainfall simulation, it's good to compare systems, not necessarily to get total estimate of load, and especially for the particulate P loss, it's not that good. Okay, so it's good. It's a good tool, you know, but it's not perfect. We need to be aware of that. So what we did here, we worked in three sites in 3 years. We have soybean residue. I forgot to put in there that one soil was low in P, the other was optimum, the other was high, but not very high. And one had pH 5.5, the other 6.3, the other 7.3. There was some calcareous there. We applied 50 kilos of P. That's about a 2x rate that normally is applied before corn. Most farmers, that's what we do in Iowa. The same amount with a layers manure or DAP fertilizer. And then we apply alum or gypsum at 30% of the of the manure applied by weight as is. We are trying to get the maximum impact possible. We couldn't use rates. So we put half, we mix it 1 week before application, and half broadcast during the application. This is about 700 pounds, which is more than what some people in the Southeast have worked, you know, with alum and gypsum, but it's much less than what NRCS in some states is recommending. They are recommending 1 ton of gypsum. We did the application in the fall. This was a non-factorial experiment. We didn't have enough funding. So we have the fertilizer, of course, and then the layers manure, and then we did the with or without alum or gypsum. Then we did the application in the fall before soils froze, and then in these treatments we had a rainfall within a day of the application with or without tillage. The tillage was disking, light disking, and then we have one in the no-till that we delayed the runoff event 10 days, okay, different plots. So we didn't do it, we applied, they waited 10 days just sitting there, there was no rainfall in between, and then we rain. And then we have an application before the soils were frozen that we measure snow melt runoff, but we also have another plot that we applied during winter. We applied in early winter in January, and in those years, this was north central Iowa, we had snow cover about 1 to 4 inches. Of snow. Okay. So these are some results. What I'm going to show is a series of slides. The green is the dissolved P, DRP, dissolved reactive P filtered, and then the yellow is the total P. And then this slide, what I'm showing is the sources effect, how it interacts with the timing of rainfall and the tillage. So we have here we have the 24 hours event. No tillage, the 24-hour event with disking, and this was that 10 days delay with no till. So there are a few things that are very clear, and the blue numbers is the percent of the DRP of the total P. So a big thing here is you can see that there is a tremendous difference, especially in the 24-hour event, between the fertilizer, DAP, and the manure. Okay? It's very clear. And then we can see also that in the fertilizer, there was the 55% was dissolved P, and the manure was 48%. And then when we do the tillage, of course, we reduce the losses. But if you look at the manure, was actually slightly higher, the total P, than in no-till, but the dissolved P was less. Okay, and then with the fertilizer, so there was a much less difference between the fertilizer and manure when we did the tillage. But the tillage did reduce dissolved and total P loss in the fertilizer, and the difference in the dissolved P is tremendous: 14% with the manure and 47% with the tillage. Then when we have the runoff event, this is an interesting thing, we got less phosphate loss with runoff than with the tillage, with the no-till, okay? And we have found that, we work with liquid manure, with other sources, this just confirms what we have found. You see, essentially, there is almost no difference between the fertilizer and manure when we just have a delay there of about 10 days and then the rainfall comes. So those are the most important things that we found here. Remember, this is manure. It's not poultry litter with bedding, okay? Now here what we show is the effect of the gypsum and the alum in the manure, okay? You need to take a look at a scale. You see the scale, this is much less, much lower the loss in all of them because there was less loss with the manure, no matter the treatment, okay? So what we have here again is the 24-hour event with no-till, the 24-hour event with tillage, the 10 days delay in no-till. And essentially what we see is the alum and gypsum both decrease dissolved P with runoff, but the reduction for alum was much more than with gypsum. Essentially gypsum didn't reduce much here, and with tillage it didn't do nothing. Essentially the gypsum didn't reduce at all dissolved P. Now the alum did reduce somewhat. And then when we have these 10 events, you know, with no-till, then we see that both work, you know, made a reduction, you know, in comparison with the manure alone. So the conclusion here is that alum really work at decreasing dissolved P loss and the percent of ERP FTP. That was a major impact. And the gypsum didn't do much, really. And when it did something, was only with no-till. With the tillage, it didn't do anything. Now, this is when we applied in the fall, but then there was no rainfall simulation, and we collected natural snow melt, a pain in the neck, but we did it the best we could. And then we have the winter application. That was early January with some snow. So the big thing here, again, of course, the losses are much higher with fertilizer than with manure. And of course, when we apply in the winter with fertilizer, we have more losses of both forms than when we apply, you see, before in the fall. Now, the interesting thing is that, look at the manure. There was essentially no difference between the application in the fall or the application of the poultry manure in winter, with 1 to 4 inches of snow. And then with the dissolved P, we have some effect on reduction, the percent dissolved P here when in the application in the fall, but with the winter, the percent was about the same. So there was a reduction due to the manure, but it was the same. So we really don't have essentially any problem, according to this and other experiments that we had, when we put poultry manure in the winter, even with snow, though it's not recommended. Now, when we put liquid manure, I'm not showing that, then we do have problems. This is the difference now between the gypsum and the alum, and again, we see that the alum reduced, we lost much more than the gypsum, but especially with the winter application. Okay? If you look this difference here, between the alum and the manure, and then look here, this is when we apply in the winter and the manure, it's a huge reduction in the salt loss. So definitely based on this, gypsum doesn't do much, in spite of all the hoo-la-la that we leave here or there. Now we are working with fertilizer now. So the major summary about this, I think, is total and dissolved P loss for manure was much less than for fertilizer. Incorporating fertilizer or manure into the soil or a 10-day runoff delay greatly reduced both total P and dissolved P, but much less from the already low loss with manure. Okay. And then treating manure with alum really is much better in terms of reducing losses than with gypsum. The problem we have is that what the this was paid by the industry, but they don't want to do it because they say that mixing alum or gypsum in the cage layer system is a pain in the neck. So nobody has implemented yet. But in my opinion, this has a great potential. Okay, the other one, please tell me when I have about 5 minutes or 10. This is a very large study. All kind of things has been done over the years. I work in a very small fraction of these. The idea was to look at how filter strip based on reconstructed prairie would affect soil loss and nitrogen loss and phosphorus loss with runoff. These are the four treatments replicated. Essentially, we have corn soybean rotation, is the yellow. Then the filter strip in the foot slope, 10% of the area. Then this was 10%. It was a little bit thinner, narrower in the foot slope. But then we have these strips, you know, in the field, and then 20%. And that was no-till corn or soybean, one crop per year. Okay, corn 1 year, soybean the next year. And there was no-till. This is essentially a fixture. The unique stuff, of course, is that it's under natural flow condition. I don't remember if it is the 10% or the 20%, but it gives you an idea what the work was. So the high history, very briefly, was established in 2007. The 2 year peer removal base is broadcast in the spring. They started this when I wasn't involved, which I think it was a mistake. They measure soil and only total P until 2012. So when I found out that they have this study, I say, hey, let's measure this all P. I have a mistake here. So there was no runoff in 2015, and then so I summarized results for 2013 and 2014. And by the way, the rate was 50 kilos P. In one slide, I have a mistake. I say 22. Okay, it's 50. So these are published data for the previous years. This is soil loss for the different years, and essentially what you can see, this high line here, that is the soil loss with the crop, row crop. And the filter strips really reduce soil loss, not much difference between them. And this is the total P, okay? Total P, 28 until 2012. There was a huge reduction in total P, and not much difference between the filter strips. So that's the history. So this is for the 2 years that I work on. This is soil loss. I'm not going to spend too much time. The bluish is the annual. The orange is the non-growing season. In 2013, it was the same. Okay. In 2014, there was a bit more runoff outside the growing season. You can see there if you compare the blue. And then, of course, you can see the tremendous impact of the filter strips in reducing soil loss. Okay. This is the total P, again, what we have is 13 and 14, and this is the annual, and this is non-growing, which is the best, the same, and this is 2014, and then we have a confusion of year, crop, and P application here. 2013, they did not apply P, they applied for 2014 in the spring. So you can see that the total P is really reduced. These were not statistical differences between the prairie strips. It was a huge reduction in total P loss. And then here, there was much less the loss, but they applied the P, so you can see already that the deer, the non-growing, you know, is a lot, and I will explain later what happened with the dissolved P. This is the deer P loss. Annual, non-growing, low in 2013, but look what happened when they applied the 50 pounds of P. There was a major difference between the... I need to hurry up. Here we have the soil loss comparison, the total P, and the DRP for 2013, non-growing season. Essentially, very little DRP loss. In 2014, however, this is the soil loss, this is the total P, and this is the dissolved P. So when they apply the P, and this is 50, not 22, there was some no much difference in the 10% Brady with the row crop. The 20% did reduce it. But then the DRP, the 10% Brady actually increased the dissolved peat loss. So I will skip that. I just have two more slides. Here I put together the DRP, that's what I'm focusing, non-growing season, lost kilos, very small, 2013, 2014, and this is the percent dissolved reactive peat of ATP. So you can see the major impact when this guy screw up and they put the peat in the spring. I bet, I cannot prove it, I bet they had put that phosphorus as we say should do in the fall early, we wouldn't have seen this difference. So the conclusion is most or all soil and peat loss occur in the spring, non-growing season. Not in the fall, that's in the spring. The grass strips reduce 90% of the soil and total peat loss. Much larger total peat loss the year that peat was applied, in the done spring. And then the grass strips effect on dissolved peat loss, no effect in the year without peat application, no problem. But when they apply the peat, increased with the 10% strips area and was not affected by the 20% strip area. So this is something that I believe I showed this slide last year in the 017 meeting too. I say reducing soil and total peat loss is badly needed priority in Iowa and the North Central region. I really believe that. But we need to start looking at what happened with the dissolved peat loss. So the filter strips is a great stuff for total peat, but for dissolved peat, it's not that much. We need to be careful with that. With that, thank you.